to the saints at Hartford Bible Church. It's good to spend some time with you through God's Word, and I want to thank Pastor Dan Hummel for the opportunity to do so. I'm Dr. Robert Nix, president of Berean Bible Institute, and I look forward just to sharing some things that the Lord has placed on my heart during this awkward and odd and difficult time for our nation. There's a number of things that have been crossing my mind over the past several weeks, and I want to throw out some terms that really describe to me the feeling that I get from our nation. There's a sense of uncertainty, and it's a legitimate sense of uncertainty. We don't know how things are going to go. We don't know how vast the spreading of this virus will be. We don't know how effective social distancing and all that goes in with that is. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know when kids will go back to school. There's so much uncertainty. Some have even expressed fear. You see that sometimes in some of the questions that people ask, fear of the unknown. Another word that comes to my mind is the word chaos. It just, things are chaotic. Things are trying to get a grasp of what's taking place in our country right now. And there's so many things that we don't know. So many questions that we don't know. We don't know when this is going to happen or how bad this is going to be, and on and on and on and on. And with the uncertainty that we see, there's a tension that is around. And one of the things that has really struck my heart over the past several weeks is while there are so many things that we don't know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and part of his family, there are many things that we do know. And that's what I think our focus should be. When we open God's word, we see his heart, his love, his character manifested to us. I recall the verse in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus' high priestly prayer. He says, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. And we can count on God's word. It's God breathed, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. So with all that in mind, while there's so much we don't know, I think as believers, our focus needs to be on what we do know. About 4 days ago, I received a text. My wife, Linda, received a text, and we had some friends in the church that we served at in Chicago, and we received a text that one of our dear friends was very ill, and that he did not have long to live. And immediately when we heard that, I gave them a call. He was an elder on our elder board and a real dear friend, real sweet man. And I was talking to his wife, and she was sharing how that they were having some very wonderful, special times together in God's word. And she is a woman of God, and it's just a blessing. But in our conversation, she told me that one of the verses and passages that they were dealing with in this very difficult time, nothing to do with coronavirus, but something very, very serious in their lives, she took me to Psalm 46. And I want to read that to you. In fact, I've shared this verse with a number of different people, several verses, three verses. It said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There's a number of things that I want us to look at in that verse. Number one is that there is no doubt in the psalmist's mind or thoughts that God was not a place of refuge, of stability, of safety, of strength, if you will. The idea of safety and stability and protection comes with the idea of refuge. Years ago, when I was in the ninth grade, a freshman in high school, we had a hurricane hit our hometown, Mobile, Alabama. And I remember my hometown is a coastal town. The hurricane was about a level 3 hurricane. And I remember riding the hurricane out inland. We had some relatives inland, and we went to their house, and we just sat in the house through the evening, through the night, through the wee hours of the morning, hearing the howling, hearing the windows shake, and all that was going on. And then the next day, I remember walking outside and it being beautifully sunny. But it was like a bomb went off. It was totally chaotic. And I'm reminded of that because we were in the refuge of that house. We were there. We were safe. We were secure, apparently. And yet, while everything was going on around us, there was that sense of stability and security that we had then. And you know as well as I do, houses blow away. But God doesn't. And one of the things I appreciate about this psalm is that he makes a couple of statements. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. My margin note says an abundantly available help, abundantly available help in trouble. Therefore, the psalmist continues, we will not fear. And then he goes on to chaos. He says, we will not fear. And then, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar, the mountains shake. Notice what he's doing here. He's not saying that somehow, because God is our refuge, everything around us is just better, is not chaotic, is not confusing, is not uncertain. He doesn't say that at all. But what he does tell us is that God is certain and God is our refuge. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. Here the psalmist says, go to God. He's our refuge. Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing. In chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, be anxious but for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Paul talks about going to God. The psalmist here talks about going to God. David, in a few verses over in chapter, I believe it is chapter 57, he says to me, he said, this is David when he is actually fleeing from Saul. Saul had 3,000 troops going after David, and they were in the caves of En-Gedi. And it says this, it says, be merciful, David writes, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. We can draw hope from the fact that God is our refuge, that God is a place of hope, and that we can trust in him. So when we think about all the uncertainties, let's stop for a second and say, what can we know? We can know that God is our refuge. God is our refuge in the midst of all of the chaos. Second thing I want to share with you of what we can know was mentioned actually in Psalm 46, and that is that God is our strength. Refuge, it says, and strength. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, and you'll know the verse. You may have it on a plaque. It may be hanging in your house somewhere. It's in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know the verse, or have heard the verse. What I find interesting about that is the verse before it explains what he means by I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or gives me strength. In verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see what Paul's doing here? He's saying, when I have a lot or when I have a little, when things are going good, when things are not going good, what he's saying is that no matter the circumstances, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what do we know? We know that God is our refuge, but we also know that God is our strength. And Paul saw that. Paul knew that his relationship with the Lord, when he would look to the Lord would strengthen him. 2 Timothy gives us another snapshot into Paul's view of God's strength. I love 2 Timothy because 2 Timothy is that book that is the last of Paul's epistles before he is executed under Nero's leadership in Rome. And what's interesting about this is he knew that this was probably going to happen. And he's writing this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith. And notice what he says at the end in verse 17, he says, or verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he's including in his first defense. It could have been when he was at Rome before, when he stood up. It could be a defense. Maybe this was he had an opportunity to plead his case here. I don't know. But at some point, Paul says, at my first defense, people deserted me. And he talks about Demas forsaking him. And what is interesting to me is his next verse, verse 17, he says, and this is 2 Timothy 4:17, he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me that all the Gentiles may hear. Notice what he says. Circumstances were very difficult. People that I loved and cared for deserted me. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and did what? And strengthened him. When we think about what we don't know, it just continues. We just don't know. But what we do know, we can be sure about, that God is a refuge. He desires us to come to him. The writer of Hebrews puts it, come boldly before the throne of grace that we can find mercy and help in a time of need. The apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. David said, God, you are my refuge. I go to you. I go to you for strength. I go to you for stability, for shelter. So we know that God is our refuge. We know that God is our strength. And I want to take you to something, to another one of these things, these truths that we can know out of Romans. Romans chapter 15 is a wonderful, wonderful passage. Not only can we know, and we do know, that God is our refuge in the midst of all of the chaos around us, that we get strength from him, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love what the apostle Paul says in Romans 15 as he's starting to begin the end of his letter to the Roman church. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll recall in Paul's epistles that he talks about the rapture of the church as the blessed hope. And that's coming. There will be a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, and those who are alive and remain, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it's interesting because chapter 5, verse 1, no, it's not. It's the end of chapter 4. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So there's that hope. But also, Paul talks about that the joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe from this verse and others that God wants us to live in hope. that he is our hope. I recall Paul's statement in the book of Philippians 1, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ." That every aspect of his life was to be centered around Christ. That Christ is our hope for today. He's our future hope for sure. But he is also who we hope in now. We know that he is on the throne. And folks, nothing that's going on right now is out of the purview of God. And yet God says, in the midst of all of it, just like David running from Saul, God knew that. And David understood that, God, you are my refuge. My life is in your hands. I like to share this. It's meaningful for me. My stepfather came to know Christ as his Savior. And he walked away from the Lord. But later on, he came back to the Lord and was walking with him. And I remember when he was dealing with his health problems, he went to the doctor and he asked the doctor, he said, "Doctor, how long do I have?" And I remember him retelling the story to me. And he said, the doctor said to him, "Mr. Long," he was my stepdad. He said, "Mr. Long, I don't know how long you have. I don't know how long I have." And what I appreciated that wisdom in that doctor's answer, because it just tells us, you know, God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us, and he can take us at any time. You know, we've all known people who we look at and we go, "Wow, man, they passed away well before their time," as if their time was something that we could, you know, that everybody got for sure. And we know that's not true. So our hope is in Christ now. Our hope is in him. Our refuge is in him. Our strength is in him. Our hope is in him. And it's a daily hope. We know he is in control. We know he is on the throne. And we rejoice in that. We have a relationship. I like Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." We have that relationship of peace with the Lord. And look, I just want to show you something here. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It is our inheritance, if you will, that's been promised by God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have hope. We are sealed by the Spirit. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and there's hope. The final thing I want to share with you this morning is the fact that, back to Second Timothy, Paul's last epistle, as Paul realized that he was probably going to be executed, Nero was persecuting believers. Rome had already burned. Nero was taking a lot of the heat for that, for ignoring it, for allowing it. Some believe he even set the fires to clear it out, to expand his palace. And so he had to divert attention. So he had diverted attention to the believers. And they rounded up Christians and killed Christians and did whatever they wanted to with them, to put the blame on them for what was going on in Rome or with Nero. In 2 Timothy, as Paul's writing this, I draw a lot of comfort from this. Because again, everything I've shared with you is not out of the realm of a chaotic surrounding. Paul, when he went to Philippi, we've been to the book of Philippians a couple of times, when we went to Philippi, he was put in jail. He was beaten. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 1, I want you to notice how he begins this epistle. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." Now, I want you to think about that. What is he saying? He's saying that his apostleship was given to him by God. It was very special. It was unique to the church, the body of Christ. But he's also saying something else. that he was where God wanted him to be. And God was still in control, even though he was in prison in Rome, even though he'd been arrested. He'd been arrested before. But he says, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So we have God as our refuge. We have God as our strength. We know these things. They're not uncertain. We know. And we know that God is our hope. And the final thing is that God is our life. Look what he says. He says, the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing knowing that he will be executed. And yet he leads this epistle to Timothy. Timothy, Christ, he's our life, the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And it's a wonderful verse. If you skip down to verse 10, notice what he says. He says, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Now, wait a second. Paul is about to die. It wasn't all of a sudden that he got a reprieve and he would go free and just go on his merry way. That wasn't the issue. It had nothing to do with it. Paul wasn't talking about being set free by Nero. He said, who abolished death and brought life and immortality through the gospel. I quoted Philippians 1:21 earlier, but I didn't tell you the whole verse. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and that's every day. And then he says, and to die is gain. Later on in that passage, he talked about being conflicted to stay with them or to go on to be with Christ in death, which is far better. Here, Paul says, and I'm gonna jump up, if you don't mind, and read verses 9 and 10. He says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Amen. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are secure in him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ is in us. The Spirit of God indwells us. According to Ephesians 1:13, after we've heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, it says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are God's children, no matter what happens, no matter who's in office in Washington, or what happens in China, or what happens with the World Health Organization. We have a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has secured our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you trust him, if you know him, the Bible says that we pass from death to life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still or yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see the theme there? Is that no matter what's going on around us, there's hope in Christ. God is a refuge. God is a strength. God is our hope. God is our life. And Paul makes this statement. He says, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I could have a relationship with him. And perhaps you say, well, I've known Christ for years. I want to close with one final passage of scripture, and we will be done. But you know what? I've been saved for a long time, too. I've known Christ as my Savior since I was 14 years old. But there's sometimes, folks, that we get our attention off of him. Maybe in a time like this where things are chaotic, confusing, uncertain. And I think we need to focus on what we know, our anchor. Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, if you're saved, keep seeking or seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. In other words, set your attention on him. Next verse, verse 2, set your mind. I like the old King James. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Sometimes the things on earth consume us, and it brings the tension, it brings the fear, it brings the uncertainty. He says, set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Verse 3 says, for you died. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will also appear with him in glory. See, because of our union with him through his death, burial, and resurrection, he says we've died with him so that we might live with him. My challenge to you as I close is simply this. I want to encourage you, as I encourage myself and those I love and care for, let us set our affections on things above. Let us focus on what we do know as opposed to what we don't know. I'm not talking about not being prepared. I'm not talking about not being informed. But let us focus on what we know is true through God's word in these difficult times. Let's be like David. Let's be like Paul and others who, in the midst of incredible persecution and difficulty, look to the Savior. The Savior of all of us and our hope. God bless you guys, and it's been an honor to be with you this Sunday.